Now a reading from James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, 8 through 10, and 13 through 18. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Who is wise and understanding amongst you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Caitlin, for reading our scripture this morning. Good morning, everybody. And good morning to everybody online. My name is Emily. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to continue our sermon series today on the book of James. I have not had a chance to meet you. I hope to get to meet you soon. I'm out coffee with the pastors two Wednesdays a month, and if those times don't work, I'd be happy to set up any time to meet with you or your family and hear more of your story. I'd love to have a chance to get to know you better. Please know that. That is genuine. I'd love to have a chance to talk. We are today in the third week of this sermon series on the book of James. Again, chapter 3. Caitlin read some selected verses from that today, but I'd love for you to read the whole chapter. If you want to get out your Bibles, your Bible apps, whether you read it today or sometime this week, I want to invite you to read the whole third chapter of the book of James. It is some good stuff. This morning, I want to invite you to picture yourself sitting at an intersection where two roads come together. Two. Well, better yet, picture yourself sitting at the mixing bowl, otherwise known as the Springfield Interchange on I-95, where 95 and 395 and 495, the Capitol Beltway, all come together. Are you familiar with this road? Do you know this all too well? Yes, me too. And so that's that place where it's this big spaghetti bowl of ramps and roads and lanes, and they all come together. James, in this chapter, in this book, wants us to look at our lives of faith in this way. That everything in our lives is meant to come together in one big mix of each part of it. Our actions, our reactions, our choices, our responses, our attitudes, our relationships, our thoughts, and our words. James says, for a follower of Jesus, everything's meant to be together as one. Impacted, integrated, and shaped by Jesus and our faith in him. Nothing separated out of it. Everything. This is the life of an authentic disciple. Real life and real faith all together as a reflection of our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. That's the goal. And let me say this. There's a lot going on in the news these days. And I am painfully aware that our scripture today in chapter 3 is about words. And regardless of where you sit on any part of the political spectrum today, talking about words is a sensitive issue. And I just want to name that, how incredibly timely this passage is today. Though we planned this sermon series months ago, God's timing for today is incredibly humbling. in every way. Would you pray with me? God of mercy, God of love, God of grace, we come before you today at your feet. And Lord, we lift to you our world. We lift to you ourselves. And we pray that you would get me out of the way this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be poured out in this place and shape everything about what we do in our time of worship today, and what we say to what we hear and how it becomes part of our lives. Holy Spirit, be poured out, we pray, and do your thing in our midst. And all of this we pray in the name of your Son. And so let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord. For you are our rock, our refuge, our redeemer, and our Savior. And it is in your name that we pray. As all of God's people say, amen. Well, in English, there are 26. In Korean, 24. In Spanish, 27. In Vietnamese, 29. In Creole, 34. What am I talking about? Letters of the alphabet in each of those languages. Letters are those things that come together to form thousands of different combinations we put into the words that we speak and sing and write. James says the words that we choose, how we put them together, the attitude with which we use them, and what we do with them matters deeply, regardless of the language that we speak. In chapter 2, James was more concerned about actions. He said, talk is cheap, actions matter. In chapter 3, James says, wait a minute. Talk isn't cheap at all. Words matter too. And he doesn't place one over the other. He adds the two together and says, talk matters as much as action in how we live out our faith. It's another way the rubber meets the road in the intersection, or this mixing bowl of life and faith. So let's talk about how we talk. Raise awareness of the impact of how we put all those letters together. We are accountable for it in faith. And if no one else hears or reads what we write or say, Jesus still does. And there's that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, help me finish it, but words will never hurt me. Well, by the time we get to preschool, we have figured out already that's not true. Words can hurt, and words can hurt a lot. And isn't it strange how no matter how many positive things someone has said to you in your life, sadly, we might remember the negative ones most of all. Words can leave lasting harm, ruin a reputation, crush your self-esteem, sway a vote, incite a crowd, destroy a friendship, get you fired, ruin a marriage, motivate us to spend more money than we have, start a movement, and break apart a family. And sometimes people may use words to make up lies about us. And if enough people believe them, it can end a career, end a marriage, and make people not trust then what we say or who we are. Words can divide a church, divide a nation, start a war, divide a world. Words are heavier than sticks and stones, so heavy they can break hearts. I've been hurt before by words. I'm sure you have too. And on the other end of it, I've hurt people too with my words and said things that I wish I hadn't and fussed at myself all the way home and talk to Jesus about it and say that I'm sorry, and he tells me he will help. Chances are in our lives more harm has come from sticks. No, I want to change that. Chances are in our lives more harm has come from words than from sticks and stones. For long after broken bones grow stronger through physical therapy, some of us need a different kind of therapy to heal the scars from all that words have broken. James says in this chapter that the tongue is like a wild animal that no one can tame. It's a small thing with a big impact. He compares it to a bridle and a rudder. Like a bridle controls a large horse or a rudder controls a large ship, a tongue can have a big impact too. Direct things. And we may try to control our tongues, but verse 8, James says no one can do it. He warns us that a tongue is full of poison and that all of us make mistakes in what we say. He says anyone who makes no mistakes in verse 2 is perfect, but no one can claim to be perfect except Jesus. The tongue, James says, can do so much damage. It's like a flame that starts a forest fire. We've all watched and heard that kind of fire spread. On a small scale, between a brother and sister, a parent and child, resentment, grudges, feuds, family battles. We've seen it between neighbors and coworkers. We've seen it in groups, cliques at school, one group belittling or attacking another. It happens on a large scale too. Hate speech, politics, social media, written words, telling the same news story from two different perspectives to appeal to different groups of people, and people posting things that they would never otherwise say directly to another human being. Words of prejudice, abuse, and harassment can grow larger and become systemic, turning into social injustice when dangerous power gets behind it. And lately, we've seen theories and misinformation and conspiracy theories and things multiplying on both ends of the political spectrum, spinning words to paint the other side, whatever that side is, in the worst possible light. And if enough people say or post or repost the same words enough, those words create a truth for people, whether it's actually true or not. Professionals are paid well to know just how to put 26 letters together to rile up the other side, to make people angry or afraid, or violent, or give money. To what end? Pitting neighbor against neighbor, tearing seams of community and kindness for profit or vote or power. All across the spectrum, wherever you are on it. James was right, was he not? The tongue is like a fire. And untamable, like a deadly, dangerous poison, he says, creating a world of sin. So much sin in what we do with 26 letters. It sounds terribly, awfully relevant these days, does it not? How sobering that chapter 3 was written 2,000 years ago. Think about that. About the damage words can leave in their wake. In verse 9, James says we use the same mouths these days for good or harm or both. We praise God, he says, and then put down another human being made in the image of that same God. James says, verse 10, about all of this, simply, this ought not to be so. Amen. 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 Because there's this other side to words too, right? Because words can also help heal. These are the words we need. Words that bring people together, uniting us in compassion, kindness, welcome, dignity, and peace. Words that bring hope to people. This is the talk we need, talk that is not profitable, that does not win elections, that does not make people red or blue or purple or green or angry or afraid or small or silenced. Where are the words that comfort? Where are the words that forgive? Where are the words that value listening? Where are the words that value kindness? This is the talk we need because this is how Jesus talks. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Perhaps you've met a few in your life. You probably remember people who spoke peace into you, who spoke kind words to you in your life. Maybe it was a favorite teacher or coach who said, I see you. Maybe it was a grandparent who said, I love you. A parent who said, I'm proud of you. A pastor who said, God loves you as you are. A friend who said, I'm sorry. A partner who said, I forgive you. A neighbor who asks, how can I help? Someone who says, tell me your story. I'd love to hear it. And Jesus who says, I am with you always. These are the words that give life to someone and do not threaten it. Words that grow us and plant seeds inside us, good seeds. James says that a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who speak peace to others. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, peacemakers will be called the children of God. And so Jesus says, come, follow me. All who are weary and heavy laden, whoever you are, and I will give you rest. No matter your politics, no matter your background or preferences, or how many letters are in the alphabet of your first language, Jesus simply says, come. And it's a broad, wide welcome. And he says, in my kingdom, the first will be last and the last will be first. Love your enemies. Love your neighbors. Take up your cross. Pray for those who persecute you. Make room for each other at the table and turn the other cheek. These are the words that Jesus puts together from the 22 letters in the Aramaic language he spoke first. Words that give us true life, life abundant, life everlasting, forgiveness, salvation. Words that draw us toward God, toward a life of love, and toward community and each other. But boy, don't we mess that up. Christ, have mercy on us. Last week, Pastor Jeff said that James in this book has a knack for holding up a mirror in front of us so that we can take stock of our actions and that we might not like the reflection we see. Today, James holds up a recording device so that we can take stock of what we say and we may not like the replay. At least there are days when I wouldn't like it about myself. I get stressed sometimes and say things I wish I hadn't just asked my husband, and I wish I could get a do-over of conversations like you do in the movie Groundhog Day, you know, when he gets like 80-some tries to get the conversation right. I wish we got to do that too. We may be impatient, angry, frustrated, stressed, have a short fuse or a long one. But when our fuses blow, words come with that eruption. And unlike a tape measure, once those words are pulled out, thrown out, they can't simply be reeled back in with the push of a button. There's an old church illustration about a toothpaste tube. Perhaps you've seen this done or heard it. That the pastor stands in front of the church and squeezes toothpaste out onto a plate and then asks for a volunteer, usually a child, to come up and try to put all the toothpaste back into the tube. And the child comes up and fiddles with it for a while and then says, well, you can't put it back. And the pastor says the same is true with our words. Once they're out there on that plate, right out there in the world, we can't put them back into our mouths. So we have to then deal with what came out and be accountable for it. All that messy toothpaste of all our messy words. So what do we do? Well, the bad news is we cannot fix ourselves. And the good news is we cannot fix ourselves. We need God for that. And James says that we cannot tame our tongues on our own. They are untamable, he says, but not unchangeable by the grace and power of God at work within us. The Holy Spirit can transform us, right? That Jesus makes in us a real change in who we are over time if we are open to his work within us. There's an old saying, forgive the grammar in it, I ain't what I ought to be. I ain't what I'm going to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. Amen. The sanctifying grace of God at work within us by the power of the Holy Spirit transforms us to be more like Christ in our actions and in our words. If we are humble enough to repent and want to grow and ask God for that help. It's rough, isn't it? It's hard. I remember one day about 20 years ago having a conversation with a lady who was prickly and grumpy even on a good day. And I was a student ministries director at the time and she was a student pastor. And she was not putting together the kindest of the words that you can choose with the 26 letters. And was telling me what to do in no uncertain terms and being very stern about it. And then she was telling me what she wanted me to do with. I knew that what she wanted would not work in our church context. And I really wanted to tell her what I thought. You know what that's like. But I was trying so hard not to. And then she came back at me again and again. And she said, how did she put it? She said, did you hear me? Are you going to do it? Did you hear me? I said, give me a minute. I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to sit on my tongue. And thankfully, she took a step back and dialed it down a notch or two until we could actually have a healthy, respectful conversation. Because let's be honest, this is hard, y'all. There are times when it is flat out hard. Some of us speak or write before we think. And we all say words that we regret. We've shared 3 P's for this sermon series. If you've been coming, hopefully you've memorized them. If it's your first Sunday here, good news, we get to tell you them today. Those 3 words are patience, perseverance, and practice. Patience, perseverance, and practice. Patience to not give up on this. And giving more attention to what we say. And patience means not speaking rashly too. Be patient with ourselves, patient with others, and perseverance. Not giving up. Confessing to God when our words aren't what Jesus wants to come out of our mouths. And asking him for forgiveness and help. And practice, practice, practice. Putting together words that Christ would have us say. Practicing self-control, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because what we say and how we say it matters as people of faith. And the expression we have on our face when those words come out, it all matters. Here's a question. What's it like to be on the other side of you? Think about it. What's the impact on others of your words? And how is the love of Christ evident in what you say? How many days during the week do you wish you could cram the toothpaste back into the tube? What's the goal? It's in chapter 3. James writes, "Show by your good life that your works and words are done with gentleness born of wisdom. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace, by who we are, what we do, and what we say, and how we say it. That's the measure against which we hold up our words. That measure is Jesus Christ." What helps us get there? In chapter 1, James says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak." So what if we took a deep breath before we spoke? What if we thought about it before we spoke? What if we counted to 10 or 710 before we spoke? What if we prayed before we spoke? What if we asked the Holy Spirit to sit on our tongues sometimes and give us the words to say? We can use those 26 letters of the alphabet for good or for harm. A lot of us do both. Let us go for the good, offering all of our words to God, like in an offering basket, like we took up today, to put our words, our tongues, our heads, right, you know, right down there in the offering plate. What if we did that? To offer to God our words to bring hope and healing and life to another. And recognize in each person we meet, each person with whom we speak, the image of God in them. Be that peacemaker. Gentleness born of wisdom by faith in God through Jesus Christ. Let us be intentional with how we use the 26 and offer it up to God by the grace of God. Each and every day. Amen and amen.